chairperson of the board of the Mount Marathon Native Association. We're real honored to have the Alaska Native Review Commission here with us tonight. I'd like to introduce Commissioner Thomas Berger and his wife Beverly, who are here, and members of the commission. We also have Edgar Blatchford and Gilbert Olstead of the Chugach Alaska Corporation, most of you know, and Durante Tavios, Executive Director of the North Pacific Rim. And so I'd like us to welcome Commissioner Berger.
Well, thank you, Carol. My name is Tom Berger, and I'm here to listen to you tonight, but just before we get around to that, maybe you would allow me to just say a few words about the Alaska Native Review Commission and the work that we've been doing. You people here in Alaska were pioneers in the settlement of Native claims. Back in 1971, Congress passed the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, and it became a famous in many countries where there are Native people, indigenous people. And the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which is an international organization of Eskimos from Alaska, Canada, and Greenland, asked me to come and to hold hearings around the state to see what the impact of ANCSA had been, how it had worked out, the good points and the bad points. The World Council of Indigenous People, which is an international organization of Indian people in North and South America, also sponsors this commission. And I've been going around the state. We have been to hold hearings in almost 30 villages now, and we have had about 600 or more people testify at the hearings, and we will be spending this week here in the Chugach region, and tomorrow we're going to Titlac, and then to Eyak and Kenai, Port Graham, and English Bay, to hear what people in this region have to say about ANCSA, the impact it's had, the complaints they have about ANCSA, the things that have worked out well, and most of all, what's going to happen in the future. What plans do you think should be made for the future? We've heard in every village we've been to about 1991, and I hope that you will feel free to talk about 1991 at this meeting today. I hope that you will feel free to talk about the consequences of the alienation of shares in 1991, if enough people in each corporation sell their shares after 1991, then the corporations would fall under the control of outsiders, and native ancestral lands held by the corporations would be lost to the native people of Alaska. Then there is the question of taxation. 20 years after conveyance, the land that has been received by the native corporations becomes liable to tax by the state, city, borough governments. And what do you think about that? If you're familiar with the land banking provisions of the of Anilka, perhaps you might give us your views on that subject. Everywhere we've gone, too, people have talked about the share structure. The people that were enrolled as shareholders were those Alaska Natives living in 1971. And since that time, the children born to Native parents are not entitled to be enrolled. And everywhere we've been, people have said, well, why were the Native children left out of this settlement? Why weren't they included? And I'd like your views about that. It seems to me that Congress thought when they passed this legislation that in 1991, Native people might decide to sell their shares, that these corporations would become corporations held by Native and non-Native shareholders, and that the corporations and their assets would flow into the generality of land and resources in Alaska. Everywhere I've gone, I've said to the people at these meetings, well, look, if you think that you should have the right to sell your shares in 1991 and get some money for them, please feel free to stand up and say so. I'd like to hear that point of view if it's one that you hold, and so I hope that those who do hold that view will feel free to express it tonight. I also would like your views if you've thought about the subject on the broad questions of Native land and governance. People have talked about Native sovereignty in many places that we've been, and if that's something you'd like to talk about tonight, I hope you'll feel free to do so. Now, I have with me Jim Sykes, who is our sound man, and he is taking down on tape everything that's said. So whatever you say tonight will be recorded, a transcript will be made, and we will send that transcript back to the Mount Marathon Native Association, to the Chugach Alaska Corporation, and to the North Pacific Rim, so that they will have a permanent record of what has been said at these meetings. You may be asking yourselves, well, why is this man spending his time going around Alaska to hold all these meetings? Well, I've asked myself that question once in a while over the last few months, but at the end of it all, I'm going to write a report, and I will make that report public in the summer of 1985, and I'll write a report about ANCS, how it's worked out, the good points and the bad points, the things that people are concerned about, 1991, and I'll make recommendations that I hope will be constructive, and that will be recommendations that you can use to plan your future. The report that I write, though, will be based on what you tell me. And that's why Jim Sykes is taking everything down, so that what I write and the recommendations I make won't just come out of thin air, or they'll be based on what people like yourselves have told me at these meetings we've been holding all around Alaska. I think you know Doric Meshaw, who is with the Alaska Native Review Commission and who has helped organize this meeting and the others that we're going to hold. And with me also is David Case, who is counsel to the commission. He is the legal advisor to the commission. And if any questions come up tonight that puzzle us all, we'll have to ask him to answer them. And the only other thing I want to say before we start is that I want to thank Bob and Karen Swartz and the members of the board of Mount Marathon Native Association for the potluck supper that we had. We all enjoyed it. And I want to thank the Chugach Alaska Corporation for their assistance in enabling us to come here to hold these meetings in this region. So we're ready to begin, and I wonder if you would, if you wish to say something, if you wouldn't mind coming up here and just taking a seat at this microphone so that what you say will be recorded on tape, and We hope that you'll feel free to come up to the front and express your views, and we'll just carry on and stay here as long as you want us to stay, so that everybody can give his opinion or her opinion. So I think we're ready to begin then. Yes.
Go down the list of that thing.
Okay.
Maybe I can start.
Okay, fine, please. I'll let.
Thank you, Justice Berger. My name is Edgar Blatchford, and I'm supposed to live here in Seward, but spend a lot of my time in Anchorage, and I work for the Seward paper and also for Chugach-Alaska Corporation. And on behalf of Chugach-Alaska Corporation, I'd like to say we're very deeply honored for you, having you come to our region, and we've supported you as much as we possibly can. And if Doric don't keep pushing it closer to me, I may get upset. But our region, of course, is very diverse, and we're the traditional melting pot of the Alaska Native peoples, the Eskimos, Indians, and Aleuts of Alaska, and many of us have dwelt, certainly recently anyway, with the Settlement Act, and we still wonder what happened with this expectations of 1991 that were generated by the news media, Alaska's media. Those expectations have not been, we have not arrived at those expectations, and some of us are, of course, disappointed. Some of us are frustrated, and I would assume that there are some people who may be a bit bitter because of our inability to reach those. Speaking from the regional corporation level, I don't have a prepared text, and none of my comments, of course, are endorsed by Chugach Alaska or Chugach Natives, now doing business as Chugach Alaska Corporation. The board of directors of Chugach Natives we've decided that the best thing we could do is to encourage you to hold hearings throughout our region, to take comments from the Alaska Natives living within the Chugach boundaries, and especially encourage comments from shareholders of Chugach Natives. We'd like to study the report that you present to us, and then perhaps we'd arrive at maybe the same conclusions that you may arrive at. And in the meantime, we're on hold. In the past, Chugach Alaska has not been able to go to the shareholders and ask for their comments because we didn't have any money to do things like this. We are the last of the 12 regional corporations to get a land settlement. Our land settlement was reached in June of 1982, and it was formalized in January of 1983. We have yet to develop comprehensive policies and the development of natural resources, or even develop policies and how we're going to relate to our villages, and how do we address the concerns of those people who are registered at large and those people who are registered any one of our five villages. Our regional boundaries encompass much of, part of South Central Alaska, which is the most heavily portion of this state. The Alaska Natives in our region are not the predominant force as they are in other parts of the state. And some of our shareholders, of course, expect us to have the political might, economic strength, and certainly the social activism of other larger or more active corporations such as NANA, Arctic Slope, and Sea Alaska. We're a minority within our region, and even amongst the minority here, we are minorities among ourselves because there's no predominant race within our corporate roles. We're not all Eskimos, we're not all Aleuts, and we're not all Indians. But we're all Alaska Natives, except those people who are non-voting shareholders. But we look at ANSCA, and we look at, our shareholders, and we look at 1991 and beyond. And I think, speaking personally, I think that we sure hate to lose sight of what the expectations of 1991 were. I think the expectations were very sincere expectations. I think that the intent of ANSCA was to help the Alaskan Natives become more proud of being Alaska Native, and to realize a rightful share in the free enterprise system. Very few of us have shared in the billion-dollar settlement of ANSCA and the 44 million acres of land, and I doubt if very many Alaska Natives will share in those in the settlement in a way that'll make them well-to-do Alaskans or well-to-do Americans. As we look towards 1991, Chugach is very concerned. We're the last of the, as I mentioned before, we're the last of the regional corporations to receive a land base. We're the last of the regional corporations to develop comprehensive resource policy. We're the last of the regional corporations to encourage activism on the part of our shareholders within our regional boundaries. And the mad rush is on, the mad rush towards 1991. We're anxious as to what might come out of this commission. We're anxious as to what might come out of the Alaska Federation of Natives. We are concerned. I think what we don't want to see happen is that Chugach Natives Incorporated begin after 1991 to act as a normal corporation, meaning that Chugach Natives it becomes a part of Exxon or Standard Oil Company of California or United Airlines. And I think we're concerned about it because 55% of our shareholders are at large, 45% of our shareholders live in any one of our five villages. And I think ANSCA, the major thrust of ANSCA is to try to help those people in the village areas of our state. And if our at-large shareholders decide that they want to sell out in 1991 to whoever has the money to buy 100 shares of stock, then I think, then the village people would begin to lose control of the very lands that the villages sit on, since the regional corporations have the subsurface rights. And how do we deal with it? We don't know. We think it's easier to contribute a few thousand dollars to their commission and allow you to do the work and for us to reap the benefits. But dealing here in the Seward area, since I am a resident of this community, it's in most of, and I don't speak for the native community of Seward, and I don't want anybody to think I do, but just my observations are that a lot of the families, a lot of the Alaska Native families in this community are here because of two institutions, the historical institutions. One is the Gisley Home, the other is the TB Sanitarium that used to be here, and certainly the Blatchfords came to Seward because of the sanitarium. And of course, we have another institution here, and that is, Avtec, and we have seen more families here that have moved here because of their association with the Skill Center. We're not recognized as a traditional Alaska Native community. This is not an Aleut community, not an Eskimo community, and not an Indian community. It's an Alaskan community which has a sizable percentage of Alaska Natives. And we're not all enrolled to Chugach Natives. And although I think we are the our Chugach has the greatest percentage of those natives living in the Seward area. We look at those of us who are involved in Chugach and live here in Seward, we look from afar at Anska, and we look at how things are going within the real leadership, I guess you could call it, the Alaska Federation of Natives, or those people that are in the stronger leadership roles of the state. And we wonder whether we too have been forgotten. And I think a lot of people here in Seward feel that just the community as a whole feels that Seward has not had a rightful share in the development of petroleum resources up on the Arctic slope, and that we're the one of the few communities in Alaska not to have had any economic growth. So, from the standpoint of being a part of that community perception like that, and being a part of an Alaska Native group in Seward, we just kind of wonder, and certainly at Chugach, we hope that somebody's going to offer some recommendations that we can implement. And I don't intend to have any of, although I intend to speak at all the public hearings that you hold in the region, I don't intend to have any prepared remarks, because there's no official endorsement from Chugach, Alaska, other than to say, welcome to Seward and welcome to the Chugach region. And I'll say that in the other communities that you visit. So welcome, Justice Berger. Pleased to have you here.
Well, thank you, Mr. Blatchford. Could I just ask you a couple of questions?
Sure. I like questions, and I'll take questions from anybody.
Okay. Well, how many shareholders altogether in Chugach Alaska Corporation?
We have a little over 2,000 shareholders. We have originally we had 1,911. Those people who were alive on December 18th, 1971, who decided to enroll in Chugach. 55% of our shareholders are registered at large. We have probably, Gilbert or Carol, we have probably about a little over 100 shareholders here in the Seward area, maybe 150. And on the Anska rolls, I guess we must have almost close to 200 who have registered to Seward but may live elsewhere.
Let's see. We're going to spend a week in this region, so I guess we'll hear the answers to some of these questions. But predominant view that has been expressed by Alaska Natives wherever we've gone is that they want to hold on to their land, that is the land that they selected and under ANCSA. Do you hold any views about that? I know it must be an obvious question, but we might as well start somewhere. And
personally, or
personally.
Personally, I can. First of all, let me give you the official stance of Chugach, Alaska, and several years ago, now I'm beginning to talk like you. several years ago. The Chugach board did go into a retreat. We questioned the objectives of being a native corporation, and we came to the conclusion that we would like to remain a native corporation after 1991. And we said that Alaska Native land should remain in Alaska Native hands after 1991. That's the official viewpoint of Chugach, Alaska. My personal viewpoint is, and we have to make sure it's my everybody understands my own personal viewpoint, is that those of us who own 100 shares of stock, I wonder what rights we have. I think that the 100 shares of stock that I own in Chugach Natives really don't belong to me. I think they belong to the Alaska Native peoples and to the generations that will follow us. And I don't see how Congress can mandate that just because you are alive on December 18th, 1971, you have that right to alienate something that belongs to Alaska Natives as a whole, whether they're alive today or going to be alive tomorrow. That's my own personal feeling. Now, it's the 1991. I think that if nothing is done, if there are no amendments to the act, then I think that what certainly I will push for at the Chugach level, and that is, if the shares of stock do in fact become alienable in 1992 and you can sell your shares of stock to anybody you want in the world, then I think we're going to push that our shareholders will not be taken advantage of. We will try to educate our shareholders for them and have them realize the full value of their 100 shares of stock or one share of stock in Chugach. And the example that we like to use within our regional boundaries are limited entry permits. The state of Alaska and all of their wisdom decided that only those people who fished should have the right to fish in Alaska. And if you weren't fishing during that period of time, then the only way you can get into the fishing industry was to buy a limited entry permit. A lot of our shareholders in the villages in Chenega and Tetitlik and Eyak, Port Graham, English Bay, soon after the permits became marketable and they had a couple of bad seasons in the fishing season, looked really terrible, decided to sell their limited entry permits, not fully realizing, I think, that they were cutting off access to their livelihoods, their future livelihoods. And some of those limited entry permits were sold quite cheaply, you know, $5,000 to $15,000. And Prince William Sound, now I don't think you can touch a limited entry permit with, I don't know, I'm not a fisherman, I don't know the difference between a gillnet and a seine, but some of those permits you can't touch for less than $100,000. And we just don't want our shareholders to be taken advantage of or for them to sell out too cheaply. If in fact shares, ANSCA shares and ANSCA corporations do become alienable.
Yeah, the precedent of limited entry is troublesome. We heard a lot of evidence about that in Southeast Alaska. And if people are willing to sell something as valuable as the right to engage in fishing, then it may well be they'll sell their shares. And you'd have a big job of educating them about the true value of the shares. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask Mr. Blatchford, Mr. Case? No? Just for the record, Mr. Blatchford, you're the president of Chugach.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
I'm the chairman.
All right, the chairman. Okay. That's just as good, isn't it?
some cases, no.
Well, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
As long as Edgar. My name is Carol Hatch Benoit, and I'm a resident of Seward. I have a couple of concerns about the act. First of all, I want to say that I'm enrolled at large, so I do not belong to a village corporation, so I don't relate except to what I've heard from other people that belong to village corporations. So I feel like I'm missing out on part of that relationship. To the land. The people in Seward are from all over Alaska. I think ANSCA and our regional corporation have brought us together as a regional people. And I might feel that way because I'm involved with a nonprofit corporation. But we do meet once a year at a stockholders meeting, and so I do feel we have a better relationship with the other Native peoples around us, which I don't think we would have if we hadn't had the act. And I think that's important to all of us as a Native people, because we are living in a predominantly non-Native town, and I don't feel like we're segregated. We pretty much integrated into the community, and I think this is an important way that we can ourselves feel that we are Native and it is important to us. And I don't feel like that has happened too much in the total community of Seward. there are a few of us that are involved very much with the local, our local Native Association, but there are a lot that aren't. And so I think we're missing out on that part of ANCSCA, that we're not a village corporation. We don't have a village identity. I'm also concerned about the children that born after 1971. And I'm also, I guess I have some questions about the blood quantum that was used. I'm a quarter Native. My son is then an eighth. And where he will inherit my 100 shares of my regional corporation, now he couldn't participate fully. And, you know, depending on what laws they make or the rules the corporation makes, I'm not sure how that works. I'm not sure what kind of participation he would have after 1991, or even now. I don't think he couldn't participate. And I think that's more of a concern for people in a town like Seward, where most of the people aren't full Native. They're not full Eskimo. There are a lot of people that are half or a quarter, and would like to have their children considered Native that aren't according to BIA standards. So I'm concerned about that. And a thing that Edgar mentioned that I feel strongly about, that I would like our corporation to remain personal. I think there are 2,000 shareholders. It can be very personal, because you pretty much see the same faces year after year at the annual meetings. And if the shares are able to be sold, it could become very, very impersonal. And I think that we need to continue to feel that ownership of our regional corporation, because it's about all that we've got. And I right now I feel that we do have a little bit of control. We pretty much see the directors right around proxy time. But at least we see that. It's not something we just get proxy notices in the mail, which you do usually in, when you own shares in other kinds of corporations. And I feel that I want my son to be able to feel that personal ownership too. Thank you.
Thank you. But can you pick up David's questions, Jim?
David Case.
How do you say your last name?
Benoit.
Benoit.
B-E-N-O-I-T.
You are president of Mount Marathon Native Association.
I'm chair of the board.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could you tell us a little bit about the Mount Marathon Association, how old it is, and its activities?
Okay, we're a local Native nonprofit organization, begun off and on in the early 70s. We've been pretty active since about 1975. We're nonprofit related to the North Pacific Rim, which is the Native regional nonprofit corporation that serves the Chugach region. So we serve the Chugach people. We're involved with, we have a local office here that's called the Mount Marathon Native Outreach Office. We have a couple of outreach workers. We have the director of the office. We've had in the past, we've worked with EMT programs. We have a JOM program. We work with BIA employment, pretty much all of the nonprofit programs in the past, CETA and whatever it is, JPTA now, and some are youth employment and a social service agency.
Is the association incorporated under Alaska law?
we think.
We're working on that. We hope so.
Okay. And how large is the board?
7-member board.
Do you do any contracting independently?
No, we haven't in the past, no. It's all through the rim.
And have you had some involvement with the Indian Child Welfare Act?
Yes, we have. We're involved with one case right now, waiting to hear placement for a child.
Could you explain how your involvement occurs and operates under the Indian Child Welfare Act?
In this particular case?
In general, in particular, there's
okay, we've been recognized as a tribal governing body by the federal government in placing of Indian and Native children under the Indian Child Welfare Act. And this act mandates that Indian and Native children be placed in Indian Native foster homes and Indian Native adoptive homes. So being recognized, we get the legal notices that go out whenever a child is taken away from a natural parent. We get a notice, a legal notice, every time a legal notice goes out to the parent or the social service agency that handles it. This is involving children and parents who are enrolled to the Chugach Alaska Corporation. That's correct, isn't it? Or is it the North Pacific Rim region? No, I think it's the corporation. Uh-huh. So we get notices not only of children here in Seward, but we get notices children of stockholders who may be living in Anchorage or wherever outside. Right now we are involved in a case of a local child being placed in an adoptive home. In the past, we've had notification on children being placed in foster care and having the opportunity to make a recommendation if we know of a place where this child may be placed, or making recommendations should the child go with the parent or be placed out of the community. And the particular case we're involved in now is the first one that we've really gotten involved in, and we feel like we're doing a real important job, because we feel that our children are our most important resource, and we want to be able to keep them in the Native community where they belong.
Okay, and one couple of final questions. You said the Mount Marathon Native Association was founded in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Was it founded right after the Flames Act then, or prior? Was that not?
No, I think it was after.
Uh-huh. Do you have any idea what prompted the formation of the organization?
I think it was mostly trying to get together the shareholders of the Chugach Corporation. Because when it first began, I don't think the RIM was operating. So really there wasn't much impetus, I don't think, to keep the organization going. If all we were doing were getting together Chugach shareholders, there wasn't much interest in that. And as it is now, there isn't much interest in Mount Marathon itself. It's just pretty much a select group of people. Not select, but the ones who show up. But if we didn't exist, these programs wouldn't take place. We wouldn't have a health outreach worker. We wouldn't give scholarships. We wouldn't provide employment and employment assistance and all kinds of things. So we feel like, you know, we may be martyrs, but we're martyrs for a cause.
How many people do you have actually employed by Mount Marathon?
Right now, I think it's two. Two full-time?
And then during the summer, we have the
youth.
Two to four summer youngsters. Mm-hmm. We do, from time to time, have monies to train office help.
And it has been up to four full-time, isn't it?
Yes.
I have one question. Maybe I should have asked if you're perhaps you know too. How long have Edgar mentioned that Native people came here for other reasons? How long have Native people lived in the community of Seward?
The community was founded in 1903, and I think there were was one of the one Native family. Excuse me.
Mary Lowell.
Myself, my family came here connected with Jesse Lee. And you might want to ask where everybody's from. I don't know where everybody's from. It would be interesting.
Just,
well, I think we'll leave that up to people to decide for themselves. But the Mount Marathon Native Association, just so I'm clear on this, has nothing really to do with ANCSA. The fact is that your membership in Mount Marathon are, for the most part, members in Chugach.
We don't have a list of members.
Yeah.
We serve the Native people in this community, and we finally changed that. Instead of having 20 paid-up dues-paying members, we finally decided to dispense with that and just serve and consider our membership the Native, excuse me, the Native community.
I see.
And we do, for some of the programs that we get through the RIM, we have to, by resolution, ask the Chugach Alaska Corporation to ask the North Pacific RIM if they would ask for certain grants or programs.
Who was Jesse Lee home founded?
It was originally Jesse Lee, in Unalaska, in the late 1800s.
When did it move to Seward?
1925, I believe. And was here until 1966. The buildings were damaged in the earthquake, and they decided to change their focus, and they moved to Anchorage, and now serving emotionally disadvantaged.
And the tuberculosis sanitarium, when did it locate here? Do you know that?
46 to the late 50s. 58. And then that was changed to a home for the chronically ill, and now it's a nursing home. So there's a segment of our Native population that's in the nursing home, quite a large percent of their patients.
You're a shareholder in the regional corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me how you feel about the question of sale of shares when 1991 arrives, if there are no limitations on the sale of shares, what would your own personal attitude be toward selling your shares? If somebody came along and said, here's a very good offer, leave to one side what Mr. Blatchford said about educating the shareholders. Suppose he had educated you, and somebody came along and said, here's some money, and it was certainly a fair offer.
I wouldn't sell. I feel that that's my link to my nativeness. Excuse me. And I want my son to have that.
Mm. Yeah.
And I don't think he'll get it any other way.
Right. Um, Okay, well.
Sorry. Well, you can see how strongly
yes,
I feel.
I can. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
During the course of the evening, if you don't mind, my wife may take one or two photographs of us all here. Well, we're...
Can I just read something that's...
Please do.
Okay.
Please do.
Then I'll
take
my own later on.
Okay.
This is from Kenneth Eugene Blatchford, and he's a resident of Seward.